Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
You're listening to Luke's English Podcast. For more information, visit teacherluke.podomatic.com. Hello and welcome to episode 3 of the podcast. Thanks very much for listening and downloading and possibly subscribing to the show using iTunes. That's fantastic. In today's show, we're going to be talking about music, and I'm going to talk to my mum about the Beatles because she was a big Beatles fan in the 1960s. I'm also going to respond to a couple of emails that I've had. And then in the last part of the podcast, the language part, I'm going to talk about habits and habitual behaviour in the past. So things like used to and would and some other useful language. So stay tuned for that. Now, I've had an email from Alessandro in Italy. In response to the question that I asked at the end of the last podcast, that question was, what kind of music is popular in your country at the moment? Is it kind of English language music, or do you have music that is just exclusive to your country? And Alessandro from Italy says that he still thinks that opera is the most famous Italian music, of course. Everyone knows opera. People like Luciano Pavarotti, Andrea Bocelli. Of course, that's the most famous Italian music. But also in Italy, rock music is really popular. And they have all the English language bands, the ones that we have obviously here as well. Things like the, you know, U2, the Red Hot Chili Peppers, Coldplay. All these really big bands are popular in Italy as well. But also there are lots of Italian rock bands that are really popular there but aren't very well known outside of Italy. And I think this is probably true in most countries. I know it's true in Japan that there are big, very successful bands that are just famous in that country, and because the lyrics are not in English, they're not famous in America or in the UK. So it's probably a bit lazy in terms of sort of British people. We don't listen to very much music that isn't in English. We're probably missing out on quite a lot of good music. So thanks very much for your emails. Appreciate that very much. Remember, if you want to email me, you can. It's luketeacher@hotmail.com. And I love hearing from you, so send me your emails and all your comments and stuff, and I'll get back to you through the podcast. Little bit of Beatles there. That was Drive My Car from the Rubber Soul album. And I'm playing that because the Beatles and Apple Corps, which is their company, and EMI Music have finally decided to re-release all of the Beatles studio albums in remastered form. So they're all going to be digitally remastered. And so that means you'll be able to listen to them and hear them sounding better than they've ever sounded before. Some of the albums that they released, particularly the early ones, were recorded in mono. And there are CD versions of those albums in mono. But now they're going to be digitally remastered, so they'll sound really crystal clear and perfect. And they'll be all in stereo, which obviously makes the listening experience a lot better. Now, right, so with me here now is my mum. Hello, Mum.
Hello, Luke.
How are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
Now, I thought that I'd talk to my mum today because she used to be, back in the 60s, a massive Beatles fan. Is that right?
That's right, yes.
Okay, so... right, so I hope you don't mind if I ask you some questions.
No, that's okay.
So how did you first hear about the Beatles then, when you were younger?
Oh, it's very hard to remember, but I have one memory of being on the school bus and hearing two other girls talking about this group called the Beatles and looking at pictures of them and saying, which is your favourite? And I think maybe that was the first time I heard of them, but I really can't remember the actual first time.
Yeah, no, they were a really massively popular band, weren't they?
They were.
I mean, everyone was crazy about them. So you obviously heard about them from some friends and then started to
talk about them and look at pictures of them and listen to the music. And I didn't actually buy any records of theirs until... the second LP, which was called With the Beatles, which my parents bought me because I didn't really have much money of my own
in those days. How old were you in those days?
I would have been about 12 or 13, I suppose.
So you were the target audience, really.
I suppose so, yes.
So why did you like them? I mean, they were so popular, but why? Why did you like them?
Exactly? Oh, it's very hard to explain why. They were just so unusual, so different. All the pop music we'd had up till then seemed to be mainly from America, although there were one or two English people like Cliff Richard and Adam Faith. But they were just so different. I mean, the first time I ever saw a group, you know, with three guitars and drums.
Yeah.
And before, it was just a singer.
They had something else about them, didn't they? They had a kind of personality.
Yeah.
They had a good sense of humour. They were charismatic.
They were from Liverpool, which... and so they had these wonderful Liverpool accents, which, of course, I didn't really know about in those days. I'd never heard of another Liverpudlian, I don't think.
Yeah.
And they were very witty and very funny and very quick and just wonderful, really.
Oh, great. So did you actually ever see them
then? I did. I saw them twice. I think the first time I saw them was 1963, I think, in Wolverhampton.
Yeah.
And then I saw them again in Birmingham the following year.
So they were probably playing in a theatre or something like that, right?
I can't remember where they were in Wolverhampton. It was probably a cinema or a theatre or somewhere like that. And in Birmingham, they were at the Odeon in New Street, which again was a cinema, but it had a stage, and so it could be used for concerts as well.
And so what was the experience like? I mean... what was it like actually seeing them? What was the audience like, first of all?
The audience was completely hysterical. Right. We were all screaming and shouting.
Yeah.
And it was... I remember the compere of the show, that's
presenter.
The man who introduced the acts.
Yeah.
When it got to the Beatles, of course, they were the last on the bill. And he sort of stirred the audience up even more by saying, do you want to see them? Do you want to see them?
Everyone was like, yeah, we want.
Everybody was shouting and screaming, and the curtain came up, and we could see their feet, and then we could see their legs, and then we could see them, and then the music started, and it was all extremely exciting.
There's lots of video footage of the Beatles concerts where they're playing, and you can't really hear the band. You can just hear all this ridiculous screaming.
Yes, that's what it was like. I don't really think we could hear them properly at all.
Yeah. So it was just total madness, really.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. I expect probably at the time, because it was the early 1960s, mm-hmm. young people didn't really have anything, you know, interesting like the Beatles. They just, I think that life was kind of boring, right?
I never thought it was boring. It was just the way it was in those
in
days.
Terms
but
of
it was very different from the way it is today.
Yeah,
there wasn't...
Now teenagers have just got so many, you know, so much music, so many movies and all kinds of things there to entertain
and
them.
And it's so much more accessible than it was in my day. You had to actually go to the cinema or buy a record.
Yeah.
There was no downloading stuff from the internet or watching DVDs or anything like that.
Right. So which Beatle was your favourite? Because everyone had a favourite Beatle, didn't they?
My favourite Beatle was it was a toss-up between John and Ringo.
Okay.
I think mainly my favourite was John, because he was so outrageous.
Right, he was controversial, wasn't he?
He was.
Yeah. Okay, so just the fact that he was controversial and outrageous, that...
That was mainly it, yes. Okay. And he was very witty and very funny.
Yeah, yeah, he was, wasn't he? Mm. And what about now? Is John still your favourite one now?
I can't really think of it in those terms anymore, really. Because I'm very fond of George now.
Yeah.
I appreciate him more now than I did then, I think.
Yeah. Okay. So do you still listen to the Beatles these days?
Not very much, no.
Why not?
I find it quite strange listening to them now.
Mm.
I don't know. It's very hard to explain. It just reminds me of those days, and I don't really want to go back and think about those days anymore. I'd rather live here and now.
Right. Okay. Well, thanks very much for talking to me.
It's a pleasure.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's it then. Well, okay. I think I might buy a couple of these new CDs
okay.
when they come out.
Right.
Because, you know, I'm a big fan.
Yes.
So,
well, I might listen to one or two of them if you buy them.
Yeah, you'd probably enjoy them. Okay. Well, thanks very much.
Okay.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Okay, so now it's time to do the language part of the podcast. This is where I teach you something. And in the last episode, you heard my dad talking about his Easter experiences when he was a child. And so he was talking about things that he usually did, things that he did regularly or every year when he was a kid. So we're going to look at some language that he used and that you can use to talk about regular habits in the past. Now, there are... some really common ways of doing this. The most common way is to use used to. You've probably studied that. You probably know about used to. So that's USEDTO, used to. So for example, something my dad said was, we used to paint our Easter eggs different colours. Okay. Another example for me would be, I used to live in Japan. Right? Or I used to smoke. I don't smoke anymore because it's very bad for your health, right? I used to smoke, but then I gave up. So this is something really useful. Now, you may know about used to, and you may have studied it, but do you actually use it? Now, this is very important. You might know about different kinds of grammar. You might have studied different bits of vocabulary, but the difference between a learner of English and a native speaker is that a native speaker uses all of this stuff. They actually use it regularly when they speak. They use a variety of different grammar and a variety of vocabulary, okay? And used to is something that people use all the time when they're talking about the past, when they're talking about things that they did regularly in the past, okay? So you should use used to a lot. You might think that this isn't new language for you, but the most important thing is that you're actually using it, okay? Something I always tell people is it's not important what you know, it's important what you do in English. So the important thing here is that you actually use something like used to, okay? So just some other important points about used to. Pronunciation. So... obviously, it should be, I used to. So that's used to. Not used to. And not UZ2 or used to. I sometimes hear people saying UZ2 or used to, but it's not that, it's used to, used to. Also in negative or in question forms, it doesn't have a D. So that's when you write used to in a negative, it doesn't have a D. So I didn't used to smoke, right? So it's without a D, so it's didn't, useto, right? And it's the same in questions. Did you used to, for example? Now, used to is commonly confused with another very similar structure, and that is to be used to doing something. For example, I am used to living in London. Okay, so you've got used to, which is I used to live in London, and be used to doing something. I am used to doing something. I am used to living in London. So those forms are completely different, right? So I've told you about used to talk about past habits. Now let me tell you about to be used to doing something, or I am used to doing something, right? Which is totally different from just used to, okay? So, okay, let's see. So if you say I am used to doing something, or I got used to doing something, it means that before something was difficult or strange for you, but now it's okay. Now you're okay with it, you got accustomed to it, okay? So for example, something that you might say, when I first moved to London, I thought it was very difficult to live here, but now I'm used to living here. Okay, now I'm used to living here. So it could be, now I understand the culture a bit more, I can speak better English, I remember that people drive on the left, so I'm used to living here now. So that is totally different from I used to live in London, which means that I lived in London in the past, but I don't live in London now. Okay? Right. So another way of talking about a past habit, which is similar to used to, is the modal verb would. Now, would is usually, when it's used to talk about a past habit, we use would, but in the contracted form. Okay? So, for example, you may have heard my dad in the last episode say something like this. We'd roll our Easter eggs down a hill, and then we'd eat them at the bottom. Okay, so this use of would in the contracted form, for example, we'd eat them at the bottom, or we'd buy each other chocolate eggs every Christmas. Not Christmas. What am I talking about? Not Christmas. Sorry. We'd buy each other chocolate eggs every Easter, right? This use of would is very similar to used to. We use it to talk about things we did regularly in the past. Okay, for example, for me, when I lived in Japan, I'd see businessmen asleep on the underground every day. Okay, I'd see businessmen asleep on the underground every day. Or I'd sometimes get woken up by noisy motorbike gangs in the middle of the night. Right, I'd sometimes get woken up by noisy motorbike gangs in the middle of the night. That's true, actually. I used to get woken up all the time by motorbike gangs, because I lived in I lived near Yokohama, and sometimes in the summer there were these big motorcycle gangs that would ride around the city in the middle of the night, and they were so loud. So for example, you know, I used to wake up to the noise of these motorbikes, and I'd get up and I'd go out to I'd go out onto my balcony, and I'd look down on the street, and I'd see all these motorbikes riding past. It was quite frightening, because they were quite scary. Some of them had samurai swords on their backs, which was quite scary. Anyway, I was talking about wood. So, for example, I'd sometimes get woken up by noisy motorbike gangs. Okay, so try to use would like that in the contracted form to talk about regular things that happened in the past. Now, it's very similar to used to, but it is different. The only difference with used to is that we don't use would like this with state verbs. Okay, now you've got state verbs and you've got action verbs. Action verbs are the most common ones. Action verbs all describe an action, right? For example, something that you do rather than a kind of state or condition that you're in. So an action verb might be to go, to play, to eat, something like that, okay? Right, so we don't use... Okay, that's action verbs, play, go, eat, and so on. Now, state verbs are not used to describe an action, but they describe a situation or a state or a condition, right? These include verbs like live, know, like, understand, hate, okay? Now, we don't use would in the contracted form to talk about past habits with state verbs, okay? So, for example, you can say, I used to live in London, right? Live is a state verb. You can say, I used to live in London. But you can't say, I'd live in London, if you're talking about the past, okay? That's because live is a state verb. So, you can say, when I lived in London, I'd take the underground to school every day, and I'd often go to the pub after school on a Friday. So you can say that because take is an action verb and go is an action verb, all right? So remember that you can only use would contracted for past habits with action verbs and not state verbs. If you're interested in action verbs and state verbs and what the difference is, it's really simple. Just go to Google, right? Go to the Google search engine and type state verbs. Have a look at the results and you'll see lots of grammar pages from, you know, Oxford University or something like that, and they'll show you lists of state verbs and action verbs and the differences between the two. Okay, that's it. That's the end of the language section. So, I hope you found that useful. Don't forget, you can email me questions. If there's something you don't understand, or if there's another question you have about language, email me. The email address is luketeacher@hotmail.com. And I will answer questions that you send me in the podcast. Now, I might not be able to answer every question that is sent to me, because I get quite a few questions. So if I don't answer the question that you've sent me, I'm sorry. I'll try to answer all the questions that I get sent, but sometimes I can't answer them all. Okay, so that's the end of the podcast. Now I'm going to end with a final question. And the question this time is about skateboarding. Now it's about skateboarding because I was talking to my brother recently, and he loves skateboarding, right? He's a skater. He skates a lot. And I was talking to him about it recently, and I was thinking that I might interview him for the podcast in the future. So I might have an interview with my brother James about skateboarding. But I'd like to ask you a question about skateboarding. What do you think? Is skateboarding popular in your country, right? And do you think skateboarding is vandalism, or is it okay? Now, what does vandalism mean? Vandalism is when people damage public property, okay? So what skateboarders do is they use public property for their skateboarding. So they do things like they will ride on a bench, or they will ride on a handrail for their skating. And it damages the bench and it damages the handrail. And a lot of people in this country think that skateboarding is vandalism, that it damages public property. But a lot of people think it's kind of like an art form or a sport or something. So what do you think? Do you think skateboarding is vandalism, or do you think it's okay? So that's the question. That's the end of the podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. And don't forget to email me, luketeacher@hotmail.com. And I'm looking forward to hearing from you. So that's it. Cheers. Bye, 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 bye. Thanks for downloading Luke's English Podcast. Don't forget to email me at luketeacher@hotmail.com.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe came along and changed everything. With Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. Now I can accept in-person, contactless payments right from my iPhone. No extra hardware required. What's truly remarkable is how I can cater to all of my customers' payment preferences. Whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe ensure a smooth checkout experience every time. And it's not just me. Stripe helps businesses of all sizes, from local markets to global retailers, scale quickly and stay agile. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.
If you enjoyed this episode of Luke's English Podcast, consider signing up for Luke's English Podcast Premium. You'll get regular premium episodes with stories, vocabulary, grammar, and pronunciation teaching from me, and the usual moments of humour and fun. Plus, with your subscription, you will be directly supporting my work and making this whole podcast project possible. For more information about Luke's English Podcast Premium, go to teacherluke.co.uk/premium info.